Today on More to Life, Faith Fights. Is faith causing conflict in your relationships? We'll help you find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Faith Fights. You know, faith is supposed to bring people together. It's supposed to give us a blueprint for what a healthy and happy, holy relationship should look like. Unfortunately, very often faith becomes a wedge issue in all of our relationships. So we're asking you to call up and share at 877-573-7825. Is faith causing conflict in your relationships? We want to help you find grace-filled solutions. If it is, give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So are your attempts to live or share your faith causing tension in your relationships? Is your spouse resentful of your spiritual or religious practices? Do your teens roll their eyes? Or do your adult kids freeze you out when you try to share your faith with them? Are your friends or extended family members hostile toward you because of your faith and beliefs? Let us help you find grace-filled ways to respond to all the ways that faith is complicating your life and your relationships.
Yeah, and, you know, it's always particularly sad when we experience faith as that wedge issue or, you know, this thing that causes conflict between us and people we care about, because our faith is so important to us, and we want to celebrate it with everybody and share it with everybody.
And it's not just a nice thing, but it also very much, as anybody who is in the Christian faith is aware of, affects not just our relationships here, but our eternal life and relationships. And we all want to see our loved ones and ourselves make it into that communion of saints and live forever together in peace and harmony in the light of God. So it's not just, oh, we like to get along. Oh, we wish we agreed on this the way we would agree or be nice to each other when we have opposing football teams. It's very weightier than
well,
that.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, on a personal level, you know, my faith, despite what a lot of secular people might think about this, it's not a hobby. You know, it's
right.
Not an interest. It's
right.
Who I am. You know, it's my identity. And when people are hostile to my faith or they treat it as a wedge issue, especially, you know, if it's my spouse or my kids or, you know, people who are close to me, it's hard not to take it personally. It's hard not to feel like it's a judgment on me. Now,
yeah.
And that may or may not be the case, but it feels that way.
Well, and again, it feels that way. We feel insulted. We feel hurt. We feel degraded. But then, you know, when we sort of stick our heads above that, we realize they're degrading themselves. They are children of God. We want them to be able to know that. We want to live together with them in that relationship. And we also deserve to be respected, as do they, because we all are children of God. So how do we respect each other? How do we take what's on our heart for us and for them and share it well? What do we do if they openly reject us and the faith? It's painful. It's lonely. And it's complicated. And if you are feeling or experiencing any of those things, let's talk about it and find you a little extra grace and a few more skills to deal with it today. Give us a call on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And again, the title of the show, Faith Fights. Are your attempts to live or share your faith causing tension in your relationships? Maybe your spouse is resentful of your spiritual or religious practices. Maybe your teens roll their eyes or your adult kids freeze you out when you try to share your faith with them. Maybe your friends or extended family are hostile toward you because of your faith or beliefs. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to respond to all the ways faith may be complicating your relationships. That number is 877-573-7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email. That address, questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two. But if you're listening live, we love hearing your voice, and more importantly, being able to ask those follow-up questions that help us tailor our responses to your specific circumstances. So that call, that number again, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. Maybe you're wondering what that is and curious about, well, what could that possibly have to do with helping me navigate faith conflicts? Well, you've come to the right place, because when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships, specifically by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation and specifically his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that we were created to live in intimate communion with God and others. And the faith is meant to be an integrating force that facilitates those relationships. So what do we do when our faith becomes a wedge in our relationship with our spouse or our children or our extended families or our friends? We need to avoid the twin dangers of either becoming too passive or too aggressive in our attempt to respond to family members' ambivalence or their outright rejection of our faith, and sometimes us. Instead, the theology of the body points us back to the need to be loving and responsible at all times.
Yeah, those two words actually are the title of the book that St. John Paul wrote before the theology of the body that many people credit as kind of the foundation of his development of the theology of the body. So to be loving in the face of faith conflicts means to constantly be doing our best to work for the good of the people in our lives in whatever way is open to us. You know, a person might not be open to hearing about the faith or learning about it, but they may very well be open to all the ways we could be sharing the love of Christ with them. And so we want to focus on those kinds of things and pray for other openings. To be responsible means cultivating the ability to choose to respond in loving ways, rather than reacting in overly aggressive or even passive ways in the face of faith conflicts.
Easy to say.
Yeah, well, easy for you to say. Instead of allowing the other person's faith struggles to put us off or put us out, for that matter, we need to prayerfully reflect on how we could respond to them in a manner that would open up their hearts a little more. First to us, and then to God, because it's that attachment, that connection they feel with us, that makes them open to being introduced to the people that we love, including God, right? By taking this loving, responsible approach to faith conflict, the Holy Spirit can use our relationships with others to soften their hearts of stone. Well, you know, that all sounds great in theory, but if you're having a hard time actually applying that in the face of the angry, hostile, antagonistic people that are kind of rejecting you and your attempts to live or share your faith, we want to help. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to your presence and we bring to you those situations where our attempts to love you, to serve you, to share your word with others becomes a source of conflict and division in our lives and relationships. Help us to know how to respond charitably to the negative or snide or antagonistic comments or actions that people take when we try to live or share our faith around them. Help us to be loving and responsible, always working for the good of others in ways that we can so that we can at least share your love with them, and being responsible so that we can always choose the right response to make in a particular situation, so that we can always build your kingdom, even in the face of those challenges. Help us to cooperate with your grace, to use these situations where people are antagonistic or hostile to our faith, to open their hearts and build that community of love that allows your grace to flow in our lives. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Faith Fights, as we talk about those times when faith causes conflict in our life or relationships. We want to help you find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Robert, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana on Christ the King Radio.
Hey, Robert. Welcome to More to Life.
Well, good morning. How are you guys today?
Good. Great to hear from you. What can we do for you today?
Well, it's you know, it's funny. You called screener, Melissa asked, and I said, well, let's see. Your topic today, we have that. I have children. I have two sons, a daughter. Two daughters, two sons, a brother, a sister. And some have completely broken off any communication whatsoever. And others are hostile.
With you specifically, you mean, or with each other, or
yes.
With who?
No, with me with specifically.
Okay.
And it goes from an absolute coldness in some instances, or with some, to actual hostility. And there's a lot of stuff there. But I learned something.
Not bad.
And through all of it, it is patience. And one thing the Lord asked us to do is love your enemies. And I didn't come to bring peace, not as the world sees it. I came to bring a sword. And you have to follow.
Well, Robert, let me ask you a question. I mean, you're not wrong, okay? But let me ask. I mean, so let's focus on, since there are so many different relationships that are broken here. Let's focus on your kids, okay? Your adult kids.
Okay.
What's the division there? How has faith become a wedge between you and your kids?
Well, they've not followed in the faith, which is a sadness for me, because that means that. You know, my grandchildren in some instances are not being brought up in a faith, so the faith's going to die. And then more so, it's the concern for their own immortal soul, that they're living in mortal sin. I mean, that's...
So can I ask, what, do you have a relationship with them at all at this point, or have they cut you off?
With two of them, no. They've cut me off. And with two of them...
And was there a specific incident, or was it just you were trying to share your concerns and they slowly pulled away? Was there more to it than just the faith sharing? Were there other things going on?
Well, you know, I wish I could answer that question. In one instance, I have no clue. It just, all of a sudden... I don't want to have anything to do with you. Goodbye, have a nice day. Not even have a nice day, just I don't want to have anything to do with you. And I think that's some issues within himself in the case of a son. And
is he dealing with some addiction issues or other mental health problems?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, look, just in the interest of time here, because we're going to have to go to break in a couple of minutes, my heart breaks for you, Robert.
Oh,
and you know, you're obviously a deeply faithful man, and you've been hurt in a lot of ways to these broken relationships.
And you're so concerned about, you know, the future of your children and your grandchildren. It's a lot of pain to carry.
One of the things, though, that we have to keep in mind, all right, you know, is that we, if when we want, you know, well, two things. One, I don't want you to get too comfortable with that idea about, you know, with Jesus saying, "I came to bring a sword." He did say that, and that's true. And sometimes, and, you know, we're going to be persecuted. That's just part of it, right? And people are going to reject us. When it comes to our kids, though, we have a different obligation there. We can't just say, well, you know, the faith is going to cause conflict, and so there's conflict here. And I'm not suggesting you're saying that. But often when people quote that verse, that's what they mean. It's like, well, what are you going to do? You know. What you really need to be focusing on here, and anybody in your situation, right, is looking at the damage in the relationship that prevents the kids from receiving the faith. It's always the relationship that precedes their receptivity to any kind of faith or values that we want to pass on. And I guess I'm concerned when you say, you know, you don't know why your son cut you off, that it was sort of all of a sudden. Yeah. It was all of a sudden to you, but people don't cut people off all of a sudden. There was something going on for a long time that he wasn't sharing or you weren't cluing into, and I don't know why. But I'd really like you to pray about those relationships and say, you know, Lord, what do I need to do? What needs to change in me so I can love my children the way they need to be loved? Now, I am not suggesting that you should validate unhealthy choices or immoral actions. There's a difference between accompaniment and approval. We actually talk about this a lot in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Adult Sons and Daughters. You know, approval is saying, oh, everything you're doing is fine. Let's just hang out and pretend that everything's okay. And obviously you can't do that. Accompaniment, though, is where you're able to say, look, I can see the good things you're trying to pursue by acting the way you are and living the way you are. I can see that you want, for example, to be loved or to be successful or to be thought well of or to whatever, right? I can see that there's a positive intention or need that's driving your behavior, and I respect that. I don't think the way you're going about it is going to get you what you want, and that breaks my heart because I want the best for you, and I want you to have that love or that acceptance or that success or that whatever it is that the intention is. I want that for you. I'm just deeply concerned as your mom or your dad, as this person who loves you, that the way you're pursuing that, it's not going to work. But I am here for you in whatever ways I can be. What happens instead of that often is we'll say or communicate inadvertently to our kids or others, you know, look, you're doing the wrong thing. You're leading an immoral life. Shame on you. I can't be around you if you're going to do that. Now, you know, I'm not suggesting you did that. But I'm saying I want you to look at how you can build a better relationship, how you can find out, you know, what was it that your son, for example, was so hurt by that he said, I need you to be out of my life. Instead of taking a posture of, well, wait a minute, I'm the parent, you know, they owe me a relationship, and if they don't want to have a relationship with me, oh well. We want to make sure that we are always modeling the good shepherd and going after that lost sheep however we can. So, you know, Robert, I just, you know, you're a man of faith, you have a beautiful heart, and I can tell that you love your kids and you love these people in your life, but I really want you to prayerfully reflect on how God can use you to build the kind of relationship and heal the wounds in those relationships, especially with your kids, that would make them receptive to what else you have to offer, instead of focusing on the faith piece of this. And sort of saying, well, they rejected it, so, you know, I guess that's all there is to it. So, and we follow up this, with our comments here with our book, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Adult Sons and Daughters, because I think there's a lot in there that you'll be able to use to repair the damage that exists in your relationship with your kids and be able to create a relationship that's deep enough to contain the conversations that you want to have. Thank you for the call, Robert, and we've added you and your family to our More to Life prayer list. I hope these suggestions will be helpful, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. We have to take a break right now. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about faith fights. Stay on More to Life. If your faith causing conflicts in your relationships, we want to help you find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, who will be sharing a really important insight on how to manage faith conflicts. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after the break.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
They are the unwanted. They are the unloved. 65 million dead. They are the aborted unborn. A few managed to be buried, the only act of love they ever received. Honor the victims of abortion Saturday, September 14th, the National Day of Remembrance. There are over 200 services all over the U.S., some at the very graves of aborted babies. For all services, see abortionmemorials.com, abortionmemorials.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Faith Fights, as we talk about faith conflict in our relationships. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Hey, Rachel. Welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
It's so good to have your input on this today, Rachel. You know, you come from a large number of children yourself. Not everybody's Catholic. You've raised 11 kids who have to go out there in the world and deal with everything. There's a lot of times in your life that just having a big family has made people attack you for your faith. What is a person to do when they are having these wedges between them and other people in their life that matter over faith?
First, we pray. Isn't that true? For every conversation we have on this radio station is praying about it, first and foremost. But I had one of my own children give me an insight from a conversation they were a part of this past summer among young teens with an older young adult talking to them about how do they deal with friends of theirs. And the resounding advice he gave is charity before clarity. Said too oftentimes we want to load them up with all this teaching, all this information, without any love behind it. And that can overwhelm them. They can feel like they're being lectured at, not listened to. So pray about it and then say to myself, am I going in with charity and love in my heart, or I just want to tell them what they need to know?
And you know, a lot of times we convince ourselves that telling them what they need to know is
loving
in our hearts, right? Because I'm working for their good. Yeah. But I think it goes back to what I was sharing with Robert in the last call, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, that we have to make sure that the relationship we have with a person is deep enough to actually contain the conversations we want to have with them. you know, in other words, you know, for example, is this somebody that I just talk about the weather with or current events,
yes,
and now I'm trying to leap into, you know, let's talk about the meaning of life and your values and your goals and, you know, all of that, which is just, you get the bends if you try to dive mm-hmm. into the deep end of that
yes.
pool without cultivating that relationship, right? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Exactly. That we have to temper our relationship with the conversation. You know, you're not going to have these deep conversations with the guy at the deli market. But I think all of us are talking about, we have family members, we might have our children, even a spouse who doesn't see eye to eye to us. And that's where I think sometimes it's not us who does the teaching, but maybe a resource. I know that I've impacted people in my life by saying, this is how I came to my beliefs in this, and hand them a good article I've read. If they're a reader, here's a book. Would you mind reading this so we can maybe have a conversation after you've read it about why?
Yeah, and you know, I know when you and I were talking about this, you know, you were really saying, if they won't talk with you, say to them, I just want you to understand my perspective, and I'd be glad
yes.
to read something from your perspective, because that's relational. That's not just handing off a tract. That's relational. And so when we're having these situations going on in our lives, even if we are under the title of parent or brother or sister, we might be giving too much weight to that title and not enough weight to healing the relationship first. And I love what you share with us today, Rachel. Charity before clarity.
And we invite everyone to go to beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. Beholdpublications.com. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about faith fights when More to Life continues after the break.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It is really important to make time for silence or to listen to peaceful music within that silence if it helps you pray, which it does me. And how interesting that scripture is filled with different reminders about silence. And the natural law shows us that what, once again, scripture is telling us is absolutely true. For example, according to health experts, silence may help you in several ways, including lowering your blood pressure, improving concentration and focus, calming racing thoughts, and stimulating brain growth. Our Blessed Mother knew this. We see this in Scripture repeatedly, and Mary pondered this in her heart.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
When we say, Thy will be done as it is in heaven, what are we asking of our Father? The Catholic Catechism explains that God desires for all men to be saved and to come to know the truth. He does not wish anyone to perish. In His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His human will of the Father has been perfectly fulfilled once for all. The Lord made this clear on entering public ministry. I have come to do Your will, O God. Only Jesus can say, I always do what is pleasing to Him, even unto death, as He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. Thus we ask our Father to unite our will to His Son's in order to fulfill the Father's will. By prayer, we can discern God's will and receive the endurance to carry it out. Jesus taught that one enters the kingdom of God not by speaking only words, but by doing the will of his Father in heaven. I'm Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Do you feel held back by your inner critic? That little voice whispering, I can't, or I'm not good enough. The spiritual master and doctor of the church, St. Ignatius of Loyola, realized that these disheartening thoughts, which he called desolations, are not from God, especially when they tempt us from becoming who God wants us to be. Consolations, on the other hand, come from the Holy Spirit. These positive thoughts encourage us to trust in God's plan for us. If we want to follow God's plan, we need to quell that inner critic and listen instead to the consoling voice of the Holy Spirit. Here's a practice that can help. First, every day, write down your successes. Did you make someone smile? Did you exercise despite feeling low? Write it down. Next, write down the strengths or virtues behind those successes. the kindness that brought out that smile, for instance, or the persistence that helped you exercise. Finally, turn your virtues into daily I am statements. I am kind, or I am persistent. Doing so will remind you that your identity flows from the gifts of God's grace, not that inner critic. For one-on-one support on your spiritual journey, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled Faith Fights, as we talk about those times when faith causes conflict in our relationships. We want to help you find grace-filled solutions for all those challenges. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825.
Before we talk to our next caller, we want to let you know that our friends in Ohio need to hear from you next week. St. Gabriel Radio will air their Spirit Drive starting Wednesday on their three stations in Columbus, Portsmouth, and Athens.
So if you are listening in Ohio or wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you are supporting your local Catholic EWTN radio station so that we can keep EWTN going strong for decades to come, and even more importantly, supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. With that, we are taking your calls right now about faith conflict. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with Nancy, who's listening to EWTN radio in Florida on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Nancy. What can we do for you?
Well, I was just calling, listening to the other gentleman with his situation, challenges with children who have fallen from the church. But mine is that particularly one son is very much a Christian, and him and his wife very involved in their church that is one of the bigger churches, Bible reading. And I guess I regret during the past 6 years in that wanting to be close to these sons of mine that are in this church. The other one was we went to church with them just to show support in a met situation in which our one son, who was had a terminal illness, was going through, and the other son had moved from his location to be with his brother to help him. And that was, to me, very admirable. And I didn't want to push them. And not really push them. I was happy for them that they found God. They had their faith. This put my son through his terminal illness. But not to have enjoyed the Eucharist, the true body and blood, is my sadness in this whole situation. And fortunately for me, you know, I was able to go to the Eucharistic Conference, the National Conference in Indianapolis, where my other son is near. So we engaged in a conversation about the Eucharist. And how would you encourage me not to give up on this?
Well, help, so what happened? You and I'm sorry. So I was under the impression that, you guys were like geographically closer to each other. You're in Florida. He's in Indianapolis. Is that the case?
Yes.
Because it says on the board something about you guys being in a Bible study together. So I was confused about that. All right. So you said you had this conversation about the Eucharist with your son when you were at the National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. How did he react to it
during that time?
Okay. And you're saying, you know, how you're asking us how to not get discouraged. So what happened that caused you to feel discouraged?
Yes. Well, in that, you know, he is adamant, giving me all the scriptures in the Bible, how this is, you know, this doesn't say that it's the body and blood. And I just respond, where does it say it's a symbol? You know, and we just, but we're, you know, we talk to each other, and it's just wonderful to be versed with the way he is versed in the Bible. I'm not as good as he is in that manner, and I had been listening to different other got on and different people in the joy of the Eucharist. And just, I'm praying that he will see that, as well as my daughters. I have a daughter that's in Florida that I'm also trying, you know, to influence in that manner. It's been discouraging that you raise them Catholic, and then they just
And you're not alone. I am thrilled that your son is a seeker of Christ with his wife, that they are living a faith, that they are actively praying together and studying Scripture together. If it's possible at some time, and this is not the be-all and end-all because the relationship is what's going to launch it, but you know, you can really point him to Matthew 26.
John 6.
And then there's references to Corinthians, and they're just where over and over it's, this is my body. This is my blood. It's not nowhere, like you said, Nancy, does it say this is a symbol. So at some point when you've been able to shore up the relationship a little bit more, figure out where he's coming from, you know, it's okay to keep that in your back pocket when the conversation's appropriate.
But I would suggest to you that the apologetics part of it is the less important part of the conversation. Now, I would like you to make sure that you know, based on the conversation you've had with your son, that you do that deeper dive.
Yes.
To understand the scriptural basis of Catholic teaching in general, the Eucharist in particular, because you want to be able to respond to those questions. But that said, I still think that the apologetics piece of this is the least important part. It's important for both your formation and to be able to communicate it to him. But the more important part is there's usually an emotional reason that the person falls away. You allude to our screener that you suspect that this son that you're talking about in Indianapolis, you know, left the church in part because of his brother's death to Lou Gehrig's disease, you know, and the frustration and the grief that he's feeling about that. I don't know if that's true or not, but there, that's one example. There's a 9 times out of 10 when somebody leaves the faith, there's a deeper wound that we need to look at and try to address that has nothing to do with doctrine or apologetics or any of that. A lot of the time, sometimes there is some confusion about some basic faith facts, and that's fine. That's important to address that. But more often than not, especially when we're talking about our kids, there's a relationship wound either between us and them, or there's a personal struggle because they've encountered hardships that they felt like the church wasn't there for them, or God wasn't there for them, or they didn't know how to apply their faith to it, and therefore it's not relevant. They didn't experience the presence of God growing up in the church. I know that sounds remarkable when we receive the full body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the Eucharist, but very often our kids understand that as a curious habit that we have and not an actual personal encounter with Christ, and then they suddenly feel a spiritual connection with God like they never had before in another church, so the wound in that case is, you know, the church didn't give me this connection with God, and so I don't believe it's true. You know, so there's an emotional wound that needs to be addressed, and I think it's helpful not to go full bore into that, because this is touchy stuff, right? It's sensitive stuff. So as you continue to build your relationship, and you know, you started by saying you kind of regret having gone to their church. Don't regret that.
Yeah, I wouldn't regret that at all.
It wasn't enabling them. They were going to do it anyway. This just allows you to maintain that relationship. And the beautiful thing about our faith is that, you know, we believe all those, most of the things that they do, we just believe more. Yeah. And they struggle with our stuff. So we can pray with them the way they want to pray, or we can worship with them with the way they want to worship for the most part. We can do Bible study with them. But we're going to differ on some things because we believe more than they do. But don't regret that connection that you've tried to maintain with your kids, both relationally and spiritually. But do pray for an opportunity to kind of talk to them and say, you know, I'd really be interested more in your personal journey in all this. Like, help me understand kind of what led you out of the church, or what led you to believe that it was not true. Like, on a personal level, not just the, you know, this intellectual stuff. That's all important and everything. I'm interested in having that conversation with you. But at some point, you had some kind of emotional reaction to all of this that made you say, this isn't for me. What was that? And just open up that level of conversation so that you can begin to pray for them about that and maybe even look for ways you can help facilitate healing in that. It's going to take a longer time, but it's...
Especially since you're in Florida and he's in Indianapolis.
But it's the authentic way in. You know, when we get into these, it's fine to start with the apologetic stuff. And it's good to learn more about it so that you can understand your own faith and communicate it more effectively. But that's not really what convinces people. Right. What convinces people is addressing the deeper wound that's holding them back from that particular experience of grace. We talk more about this in Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. You can get it at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. I'd encourage you to check that out as a follow-up to this. But the main takeaway from this call is that, yes, by all means, learn more about how to explain, defend, understand our faith from the scriptural basis. Because, you know, we are the church that gave the world the Bible, so everything we do is biblical, and it's all in there. But look for the opportunity to take the conversation deeper and ask them to share the personal and emotional journey that led them to where they are.
And, of course, look for that opportunity where there's time to talk, where there's some connection between the two of you. So over a long Zoom call, if that happens between the two of you, schedule another visit, but not just with the intent of changing them, but the intent of, I want to build this relationship and help them heal in baby steps along the way. And have those conversations. We will certainly add your children to our More to Life prayer list. Good news is, he's in Indianapolis. There's an amazing Catholic community there. There's a lot going on. There's a reason that the National Eucharistic Congress was in Indianapolis. So we'll also be praying that some of that intervenes in your son's life as well.
But Nancy, you're doing a lot of good things. Keep doing those things. Keep building that relationship. Keep supporting them spiritually where you can. You're not enabling them or rewarding, you know, they're falling away from the church. You're supporting them in where they're at in their journey, which gives you the opportunity to be used by the Holy Spirit to lead them even deeper.
And as long as you keep keeping that focus on it, you know you're on the right track.
All right, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about faith conflicts today on More to Life. Those times when faith causes wedges between us and people we care about. How do we bridge those gaps? How do we resolve that tension? How do we break through those barriers? Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 44.
I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
So, this verse, you know, it's pretty straightforward in some ways, where we talk, you know, where God is telling us directly to pray for those people who are antagonistic about our faith. But don't just pray that they change. You know, pray that God would help you see the situation through His eyes and help you be able to minister to the hurt that's driving those choices or that rejection of the faith. Because again, we get so easily caught up in proving the faith to other people or arguing the faith for other people. And as we were sharing with our last caller, it's important to know our faith well enough to be able to explain it, to be able to root it in the scriptures that it's based in. But ultimately, that doesn't really convince people. It's our ability to identify and minister to those deeper hurts, which is the love your enemies part. You know, your enemy is your enemy because they're hurting in some way. And when we love them, that doesn't mean just putting up with them or, you know, tolerating them. It means ministering to the hurt that's making them our enemy and praying that God would show us how to do that. And that's the meaning behind Matthew 5:44. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're talking about faith conflicts, and we'll be taking your calls when More to Life continues in just a minute.
Every year, couples who go on the Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. When we said cabins are filling fast, we meant it. The 2025 cruise is sold out. but it's the Good News Cruise, not the Bad News Cruise. So the 2026 Good News Cruise is planned and taking orders. There'll be new special and surprise guests and familiar ones from Ave Maria Radio, as well as Father Michael Schmitz and Father Joe Krupp. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Faith Fights, as we talk about those times when faith is a wedge issue and causes conflict between you and the people you care about. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Martha, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona, streaming online.
Martha, welcome to March to Life. How can we help you out today?
Yes. Well, you had brought up that a lot of times there's a personal issue or something that's happened to mm-hmm. the person that leaves the church. And I saw on a screener that I have a brother-in-law who, as of yesterday, he's been married to his wife for 27 years, and she's a different religion. He's taken her religion pretty quick after they got married. But when the girl he dated before her, they were living together outside of marriage. And his complaint, since he's been married to the person he's married to now, is that nobody told him that it was wrong. Mind you, this person's about 61 now. But anyways, it wasn't like he was, you know, 15.
So you're saying at 61 he should have grown up in enough of a culture where he picked that up somewhere. It's not like he's growing up right now where that thing is, that message is kind of silent in most places.
And his mom had the dad had died, and his mother raised all six of these kids from when they were real little in the church, but, you know, she's very devout and everything. And they were in a little bitty town they lived in, and so they were close to the different local priests that were there and everything. They'd have more for dinner and stuff like that. But he said nobody told him. The priest didn't tell him. His siblings never told him. Nobody told him that what he was doing was wrong. And I tried to talk to him about it one time. I live in a different state from him. I'm very close with he and his wife. They're lovely people. But I was trying to ask him, well, why did you not know it was wrong? Well, no, that's not his case. His case is, why didn't the Catholic Church tell him it was wrong? It was like their duty to tell him. Because if they
well, he's not wrong. I mean,
he's not wrong at all.
You know, I mean,
he's
and
not
we do a terrible job.
We do a terrible job, and back then we did a worse job because nobody talked about anything personal in teaching about these
things. But I will say this. How we communicate that message matters, because I know there are thousands of listeners who are hearing this right now. Like, well, I told my kids
it's wrong.
They don't care with somebody outside
of marriage. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so number one, I mean, you know, I do believe him when he says that nobody told him. And you know, it seems odd that he wouldn't know that. But whatever. He wasn't told. And that's fine. But here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, depending on how somebody would have approached him, he might not have even been open to it at the time, because if we come at somebody and just say, you're being immoral, they're just going to reject us. You know, they're going to show us the door. But this goes back to what we were talking about with our caller, Robert, when we were talking about the difference between accompaniment and approval. Right. And we're afraid very often to talk to somebody who's making poor choices because we don't want to offend them. We don't want to push them further away. And even the church, you know, when a couple who's living together comes in for marriage prep, a lot of times the pastor's afraid to say anything, because if I say something, then they're not going to get married in the church, and I will have pushed them away from the sacraments. The way to address this isn't by saying, you know, shame on you for being immoral. The way to address it is to say, you know, I, especially if you're a relative, for example, I love you. And I want you to have the best. I want you to have a love that lasts a lifetime. I want you to have a love where the person that you're with is 100% committed to you and you're 100% committed to them.
Where they respect you and uphold your dignity. They don't just use you to their own ends.
And I think you probably want that too. But I'm really concerned that the way you're going about it isn't going to get you what you're looking for. Or I may even mess up your ability to do it. And because the fact is, you know, living together just isn't as stable a relationship as a married relationship. And marriages that marriages that start out as cohabiting relationships aren't as successful, generally speaking. They don't last the way relationships do when couples haven't been sexually intimate before marriage. So, you know, it's a matter of saying, look, I appreciate what you're going for here. I really see the good things that you want. The positive intention that's driving your behavior, right? And I want that for you. I'm just really concerned that the way you're going about this is not going to get you what you're looking for, and may even get in the way of you getting what you're looking for. And I'd like, you know, if you're open to it, I'd love to talk to you about some ways that you really could meet this need or fulfill this desire in a way that I think would really work. And that's the difference between accompaniment and approval. You see that? I'm not approving of what they're doing. It's clear. Right. But I'm also not saying, you know, I'm walking away from you or shame on you for doing that. I'm saying I want what you want for yourself. And out of a genuine sense of care, concern, love for you, I'm just worried that the way you're going about getting that isn't going to work. Would you mind talking about that with me? And that's a way to tell somebody that they're doing something wrong without making them feel ashamed or making them show you the door. I appreciate you bringing this up, Martha, because, you know, you're kind of combining two things here. The importance of us knowing how to explain faith facts in a way that is charitable and is grounded in the truth. But then secondly, how to explain it in a way that allows us to accompany the other person instead of either approving of an unhealthy thing or rejecting them for making the wrong choice.
Yeah, I mean, this really goes back to what we were talking about when we were introducing the theology of the body perspective on this, that there are these two twin dangers in all of this of either becoming too passive or too aggressive. And too passive is, we never say anything, and this man's grown up to be 61 years old, and nobody ever told him that living with somebody out of wedlock was not good. It was sinful. Don't do that. But then there's the too aggressive, which means we don't really put that charity first, that charity before clarity, because we just want to drive home the point, tell them what the truth is, and let God come in with a lightning bolt and give them an aha experience, and everything will be fine. Jesus really shows us in the way he accompanied people that he really didn't go for lightning bolts very often in these situations. He really made sure that people felt understood. He wanted to bring them healing, and that would bring them clarity of the way.
And he didn't just say, you know, I love you, so just sit there in your okayness and be okay. He invited them to change and to reject the sin they were living in, but he did it in a way that was attractive and helped people understand that, that God was really concerned with the desires of their heart.
And invited them to healing all of their wounds.
Martha, thank you so much for the question, and we appreciate the opportunity to kind of reflect on that difference between accompaniment and approval. That's all the time we've got for today's show. We've been talking about faith fights, and if faith is continuing to be a wedge in your relationships, especially in your marriage and family relationships, that can be a really serious issue. We'd love to help you through that. If you reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Check it out. And don't forget to get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because you know what? With His grace, there is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.